Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitators and coaches Betsy McLaughlin and Kathy Williams to delve into different areas of your life, get unstuck, and create the life that is truly possible for you. These joyful ladies have changed their lives by utilizing the tools and techniques they share with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Kathy and Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Welcome to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. I'm Kathy Williams here with my co-host Betsy McLaughlin. And we are so grateful that you're here as well. Our topic today is turning problems into possibilities. And, you know, to have a problem, it requires that we're judging, that we've judged that it's a problem, rather than taking a look at, well, what are the possibilities here that I haven't even considered? And when we open the door to more possibilities, you know, our life just expands. And when we're looking at something as a problem, it seems more like a roadblock or a blockade or something we have to figure out. So I know a lot of us consider ourselves good problem solvers and hold that as a badge of honor. And maybe there's a different way of navigating through life that's easier and more fun. So that's what we're going to explore today. And before we do, hey, Bets, how are you?
Oh, it's been quite a week. I'm great, though. Thank you. And how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Would you like to say a few words about who we are?
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's so funny. You would think I would be prepared when you ask that question or when we talk about it. And I'm always like, oh, what can I say this time? So we are.
What do people need to hear?
What would they like to hear? So we're fun. I think we're fun. We're both moms. We like to have a good time, right? And we really enjoy contributing to people. It totally lights us up. And because it does, we are both coaches and certified facilitators with Access Consciousness. So we use the tools and the questions and a lot of things that we have learned through Access Consciousness. So we do mention that throughout the show, that kind of is weaves through. And we love to travel and teach and contribute to people. We have all kinds of specialty classes that we teach. And we're also moms.
And we have
children at way different ages. But yes, and authors and seekers of ease in our life and joy. And what else, Kathy?
Well, we do online classes, and we are doing one next week, which is free for all of our listeners. It's kind of a celebration of us being on Om Times Radio now. And that is on it's been in the past by now. We're pre-recording the show. So, however, you can still access that. We'll have it up at Imperfect Brilliance, and you can just snag it from there. And to find out about all our events and things like that. That particular call was on getting out of limitation and judgment. So you can find out more about it at imperfectbrilliance.com. And then you can also sign up for our mailing list there, where you get access to all sorts of things like clearing loops and other fun things. And you get notified on all upcoming events. So, wow, I just love this topic because I know people who live as though nothing is a problem, and then I know people who live as though almost everything is a problem. Guess who is more fun to be around?
Totally. Oh my gosh. And you know, it's really like, that is one of the greatest gifts of my transformation and where my life is now versus where it was even just a few years ago, let alone, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, where I think I know there's no thinking. I went from trauma to trauma to drama to problem to problem to the, you know, and it was like, gosh, no wonder I was in a kind of not fun place to be in my life. What about you?
Oh gosh, you know, I lived most of my early life, you know, from at least age 8, if not before, to probably like my mid 20s, pretty much being anxious most of the time. Nervous, anxious, yeah. Worried, and I could always find something to be nervous about, anxious about, worried about. And usually it was about my skills and capacities, but sometimes it was about other people or other things too. Like, how do I not measure up today? And yeah, so definitely living in the lack and scarcity kind of mindset.
Well, Kathy, that's such an amazing point. When you said from probably the age of 8 or maybe even earlier, and like, oh my gosh, to think that you were, you know, that you were creating anxiety and having that in your life at such a young age. And I see that more and more. I actually met some amazing people in Texas, and this one woman was from Japan and or China, I think China actually, and she was telling me that the rate of suicides for children in elementary school was going through the roof.
Wow.
I know. Wow. I just, even telling you right now, I'm getting chills in my body. And I was just shocked to hear that. And she was talking about, you know, how much pressure is being put on the children to perform academically and to perform. And then when they're not in school, then there's the pressure to perform for the sports and all of those things. So it was, she said they basically had no time to be children. And we got into an amazing conversation just about what is going on, even with the schools in America, where they've taken away so much of the recess and the art and the music and the things that allow children the creativity and the time to be themselves. But especially like in China, where there's so much pressure on them to excel at every single thing they do. So that just triggered all of that when you said from the age of 8 and maybe earlier that you were, had anxiety and everything. So it's an amazing conversation to have about, you know, what can we even contribute to the children coming up now who have these amazing pressures put on them by school and society.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's interesting, in fact, to consider that pressure comes from outside, right? you know, you and I could be in the same situation with someone being demanding of us, and we each could view it very differently. Like, whatever, that person's, you know, that person is just how they are, versus, oh no, I have to perform to meet their expectations and stuff like that. So I think one of the things that is so important, you know, I have two children who are rather young, 6 and 9, and to teach them is that their experience of life is actually a choice, like moment by moment choice of, you know, how do I choose to feel now? How am I choosing to perceive the world now? How am I choosing to, you know, be? And my state of being is my choice, regardless of what else is going on in the world around us. And I know that's not the way most of us grew up.
Right.
Knowing that, you know, our life is a moment by moment choice, you know, as to how to view the world and how to be in the world, no matter what else someone is asking or requesting or projecting or demanding. But that is really the truth. And it's not fun to hear when you're in a stressful situation, right? I have a choice as to how I look at this situation. That's the last time we really want to hear this. But it is the case.
Wow. Yeah, so with your children, just you said there's 6 and 9. 6 and 9. So do they have a lot of pressures being put on them in the schools about performance and not a whole lot of time to play and just be children?
You know what? They go to a Montessori school, so it's kind of relaxed. And, you know, in a moment, in a little bit, I'm going to go to a hula show that they're, and a song show that they're putting on. So, you know, it's, and I know one parent who said his child is in junior high school here. And he said, I've put him in the school here because I really don't want him to have pressure in his life. So, yeah, and again, we may not have too many choices about where to send our kids to school, but our attitude with which we approach school and work and life is up to us. And
Absolutely.
And part of that, you know, I think that can take us from problem or the attitude of that into possibility is really an attitude of curiosity. And the our youngest people, like the littlest people on the planet, live from possibility. And in fact, I was teaching a class called Radical Abundance, and there was a woman in the class saying, you know what, Kathy, this has really opened my eyes to living again from the space of possibility and not from conclusion and problem. And part of it is that attitude of wonder and curiosity and asking questions like, okay, what else can I do with this? How else could I approach this? What else is possible here that I haven't considered? Opening the door to something we haven't seen, you know, and as we go into the show, we'll talk about, you know, not looking at what's wrong, but actually what's right. So, yeah, I'm just wondering, I get the sense that you have something more to say on this, Betsy.
I do, thank you. No, it didn't just leave the station. Oh my gosh, so funny.
Your train of thought took off without you?
Oh my gosh, it was something, well, hopefully it'll come back.
There you go. It did come back.
There it is. It just came back. So when people have all around you are reacting to whatever it is, a stressful situation, pressure being put on children in school, pressure from your boss, or, you know, whatever the situation is, and everyone around you is reacting to whatever that is. If what can you do differently that can change that? That energy, the negative reaction, if you will, that we can change that like snapping a finger and it's boom, it's something different.
So many things just popped in. And one of them is the way my dad lives. Okay. And for years and years, he's had this philosophy of, you know, if this doesn't won't matter in 10 years, I'm not going to get upset about it. So he asks, will this matter in 10 years? And he says, so far, Kathy, I've never really found a yes.
That's an amazing attitude to adopt in your life, isn't it? And it really can stop you from getting your panties in a twist over every
For
little
sure.
thing that comes across your threshold.
Yes. It's so true. I mean, you could be upset about what someone just said to you or you know, something that went down during your day. And just look at that and be like, will this matter in 10 years? And it's like, no. It really won't. And so, you know, what can I choose now that's going to create a greater future? And then focus your attention yeah. in that direction, because we so often like to focus our attention in the direction of what we think is a problem. And that's yeah. not constructive. It's destructive.
You know, it really is. And think about that, you guys, as we go to our first break. Thank you so much for listening to Imperfect Brilliance with Kathy Williams and Betsy McLaughlin. We'll be back in just a couple of shakes of a lamb tail.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance.
We are talking today.
Go for it.
Sorry, trying to say the same thing. It's so cute. Well, you know, but next time maybe, Kathy, we could like practice so we're doing synchronized speaking.
In unison. Oh, I like
totally
it. Let's
unison,
practice
right?
that. Yes. For now, how about
talking.
You talk?
Okay. I love it. So today, besides being imperfectly brilliant and imperfectly silly, we are talking about possibilities instead of problems. And I think right before the break, you did have a couple of things that you said were popping in our conversation. So what would you like, where would you like to go now? Or did you have stuff to add to what we were already talking about?
Yeah, well, we were talking about when everyone else around us is in drama, what can we be and do different? And one of the things I mentioned is the question, will this matter in 10 years? Which I'm so grateful that I learned that, you know, a decade or so ago, because it's helped a lot in so many situations. And then the other thing is, am I willing to not buy the story? Like, am I willing to be the person who is not running around like a chicken with their head cut off in the drama? Am I willing to just be the person who's just like, oh, okay, what other possibilities are available here? You know, because sometimes you're going to stick out when you do that, when you're not buying drama as real. And would you be willing to stick out and invite others to a different possibility just by the way that you're being?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's one of the things that I was touching on right before the break as well, is instead of jumping into everyone, you know, into everyone else's swimming pool of that, are you willing to be the invitation for something different? Maybe it's a cooler, calmer head. It's not reacting in anger. I see so many people around me react in anger, and then they just get themselves more and more and more worked up. And when you're in that state of mind, it's very difficult to be that space of some of different possibilities, or even to be in the space of questions, which is what we talk a lot about on our show, of, you know, when you're not in conclusion and you're asking questions, what other doors of possibilities can open up for you?
Yes. Yeah. And initially, you know, when we started the show, I mentioned, I know people who live as though almost everything's a problem, and people who don't, who live as though everything is a possibility. And one of the questions they ask to that end is, what possibilities are here that we haven't acknowledged, or what questions can we ask to unlock the possibilities that are available here? Go ahead.
The keys, like the unlocking part and the key. And what if the questions are keys to something different?
I like it, Betsy, because they truly are. Yeah, they open the doors, right? They're the keys that open the doors to us seeing something different. And when we see something different, when we see life differently, life changes. So
really
what
does.
Questions, yeah, what questions can we ask here that would open up a different possibility?
Yeah.
Or what questions could we be asking that would help us see the possibilities that are available for creating something greater than we even thought we could create?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so when you're in, you know, it's sometimes the pragmatics of what we're talking about can be a more challenging. Like if you're like the state of mind I was just talking about where you're really angry, your natural inclination is not really going to be to going to asking questions about, you know, what questions can I ask to create a different possibility, right? So when you're in that space of either anger or you're in total conclusion that there's not a different possibility, what can we offer our listeners when they're in there, in that kind of space?
Well, I have several things that I do, and I'd love to hear what you do as well. One of the things I really love to do in that case is first ask, what can I be or do different here to make a change? And often it involves moving or using my body in some way. So that could be jumping on a trampoline. It could be dancing, like turning on some music I really like and just moving, because that changes the energy. And then I'm able to go into a different space where, you know, I can address things with a better outlook. How about you?
Yeah, totally. And I actually found myself in that just the other day. I was getting really angry with my husband. And I thought, okay, I already knew that it was totally irrational that I was even that angry. And I was at that space of like, oh my gosh, what am I doing right now? And I, in that time, I was not able to stop myself. So I knew I was really angry and I didn't want to make it any worse. So I just didn't say anything. And he was talking to me and I didn't even answer him. That's how mad I was in those 10 minutes or however. And, you know, he, after maybe the third time of him asking me a question and me not answering him, he finally got it. And I just walked away and I'm like, okay, just, you know, take some deep breaths, calm down. I just removed myself from the situation. And I thought, I haven't been that angry in so long that it was almost like a foreign thing that was going. And I was like, wow, what is going on right now? So I asked myself questions like, what is this? Can I change this? Like, and if so, how can I change this? And I was, within 10, 15 minutes, I was totally calm. And I had walked around outside. I communed with nature. And I reminded myself, I didn't think about that question that your dad asks all the time, but that would have been a great question, which probably would have had me laughing at myself out loud.
Right. Will this matter in 10 years?
Yeah, he's like, will this matter? I was like, I don't even know why I was angry. It was one of those, it came on fast and furious and left almost as quickly, but I knew that I did not want to add any fuel to that fire. And if I had opened my mouth, it would not have been good what came out. And
yes.
I thought, gosh, to even have that awareness, I was very grateful for. And then I went back to him and I said, I'm pretty sure you knew that I was angry and that's why I wasn't answering you. And I'm really sorry that I was like that, but I didn't want to make it any worse. And he goes, no, I got it. And there's nothing to apologize for. I said, no, I'm really sorry I get angry, because it was really silly and there was nothing to get angry about. And so then we were able to laugh and go on. And then if this had happened 10 years ago, it would have been a big, huge drama, and I would have said everything that was coming to my mind at the moment, and I would have not been very nice, and then he would have either responded or he would have totally shut down, and then it would have been a war of who wasn't going to say anything, because that's how we used to fight. We would just dig our heels in and not speak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can see how well that would go when you have two control freaks and neither one is going to give in.
Goodness. Yeah, I mean, relationships are that whole other thing that with, like,
yeah.
Well, what if the other person's a problem, right? It's not
right.
Me. It's
right.
Them. And they're causing a problem.
It's all of them. It's never me.
Right? It's never been you, Betsy. Or me.
Never, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I mean, with relationships, what's so fun is they usually think you are the problem, right? And so it's sort of like, what does that person need to hear? Or again, that question I keep saying over and over, you know, what can I be or do different here to change this? And we'll add with total ease. And sometimes it is not talking, right?
Yes.
And sometimes it is talking, and sometimes it's saying, you know what, sorry, I was wrong, or sorry, like you said, I'm sorry too, right? And you know, it's like, what does the other person need to hear? And what would create the greatest possibilities? I know I ask that all the time, but that question opens up greater and greater possibilities in my life. I mean, I was telling someone the other day, yep, life just keeps getting better and better, and the better it gets, the better it gets. Because I'm not in resistance to anything or anyone. And when I am, I catch it and ask another question.
And normally I'm that same thing too. And when I was so angry, I didn't judge myself or get angry at myself either, which was is something different. I just was like, wow, this is really interesting that I am being this energy right now. It's like, oh. Okay. And you know, I'm laughing about it now. It's like it was so silly, but there's no judgment and not saying, oh, I was such a horrible person and such a bad wife and all the other self-recriminations that I used to heap on myself as well. And then so that's another way that we can create problems for ourselves and everyone else around us, right? When we're in that the judgment pool and the self-recrimination pool.
Most certainly, and I'm so glad you brought that up because you know what? Then we're thinking, well, what's wrong with me? I'm feeling this way, or I did this, and what's wrong with me? And a question that we've learned to ask through Access Consciousness is, what's right about me? And what's right about this situation that I'm not getting? Right? Or what's right about this that I'm not getting?
I've asked
And
that question a lot, and it really does change it from, you know, like almost piercing yourself with an arrow all the time of what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, to, hey, what is right about this? And what's right about me that I am not seeing right now?
the cool thing is, again, that it's like if you have a flashlight, if your awareness is a flashlight and you're saying, what's wrong with me? You're shining your flashlight in that direction and you're going to find something, even if it takes a lot of digging and looking and, you know, contemplating, you'll find something. But if you ask, what's right about this or what's right about me? You're shining your flashlight in a different direction. And guess what? You're going to find something, and it's going to be something totally different than if you were looking at what's wrong with me. And from that place and space, you can create something greater. You know, by digging in the muck, you just kind of get mucky.
You cover yourself in muck and mud and slime, and maybe it doesn't smell too good.
Yeah, it's a
And
really fun
everyone,
place to be. Isn't
not.
it?
You know, and as you were talking, Kathy, I love that, even that just the energy of being the invitation and being that space of question and possibility. It's such an expansive and generative place to be
It
versus
really
digging
is.
around in, versus digging around in the muck that we were just talking about. And that it really is almost a quicksand, right? Because digging there, you're not, that's all you're doing, and that's all you see. And it's like you get yourself deeper and deeper and deeper until you're like covered in quicksand, and then you don't see other possibilities. You don't have, for the most part, you know, the
even the idea that there is a different possibility.
Yes. And that's why whenever you think you have a problem, you can ask, what possibilities are here I haven't considered? Or what possibilities are available here? And as you were talking about that quicksand, it's like when we have to figure out a problem, you know, we get into figuring, and the quicksand of figuring and using our head to do it, which does nothing to open greater possibilities and greater doors from the well of wisdom that we truly have available, which comes from our being rather than our logical mind. And as you were talking about that quicksand, I thought of Stephen Bowman, who's extraordinary. He's written a book, Prosperity Consciousness, and one called Benevolent Capitalism. And he has this quote that is, problems are possibilities with judgment attached. So if you took away the judgment, problems are possibilities with judgment attached. So if you took away the judgment that it's a problem and you looked at it with fresh eyes, you know, how could you use it to your advantage? How could you use it to create more fun, more ease, more life, more joy? A greater future.
I love that. And I know we're about to hit our second break. And I think like this is such a great place to pause with this question one more time. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. I'm Kathy Williams here with Betsy McLaughlin, and we are talking about problems, from problems to possibilities, and so many examples of that with people, with situations, with pressure. And one of the things I wanted to, a little story about problems into possibilities, I'm going to share in just a moment. But before we do, Betsy, do you have anything coming up in late June or July or from there on out?
You know what? I have so many things in different stages that I will just say, like, check my website. which is creatingyumminess.com, and also, of course, Facebook and our Imperfect Brilliance page, where we do try to post our events and different things that we have going on. And I know Kathy and I are also creating a couple of telecalls and things. So that's probably just the easiest thing, to check creatingyumminess.com, or also accessconsciousness.com, /, then my name, Betsy McLaughlin, and that's you can find the spelling of it too through our Facebook group, etc. And I know Kathy's got quite a few things that she actually does have completely firmed up, so she can tell us about now.
Yes, if you would like to join me in London, I'm teaching Access Consciousness Bars and the Foundation. And the Foundation is just for just. If you haven't taken one, it will wiggle up your life and allow you to release some stuff that has been holding you back, probably a lot of stuff, and create something way greater. I mean, my first Foundation totally did that for me, and now I've taken it, I don't know, 8 times and facilitated it 20-something times. And every time I watch people just get rid of so much that was holding them back. And then I love to see what has actually changed, you know, weeks and months later, from coming off sleeping pills to getting married to not being depressed anymore. I mean, there are just so many things that change. So,
I was just going to say, too, that there are so many, like, people from a lot of these classes, well, pretty much all of the classes that we teach, people's lives really are changing. And one of the big pieces is financial, like their money things change, and they get new jobs or they buy new businesses, and they didn't even know that they were going to do that before our classes. So it's really, really, really cool to see.
Thank you for bringing that piece in too, Bets, because I always ask people to ask the class. If you would like to be at that class, ask it to start making you money. Ask it to contributing to you being there. And it's incredibly surprising how often, you know, people really see that it did. So come play with me in London at the end of June, or Chicago in July 10th through 13th, or the 14th through the 16th of July, I'll be in Wisconsin facilitating. And then finally the 18th of July at the beach in Hilton Head. So if you want to play in the Midwest or at the beach, just so many possibilities. And then later in August and September in Hawaii, on Kauai and Maui, and then in Northern California, in Sacramento area, if you like to play up there as the weather turns a little bit nicer in that area in late September. It's gorgeous up there. I just love it. So you can find all of that at meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming or accessconsciousness.com/Kathy with a K, Williams. So come play. We love to see you in person with actual bodies, and change those bodies a little bit too.
And Kathy and I love teaching together. We would be happy to come to your neck of the woods. You're welcome to host us, invite us separately or together, and we are just so excited whenever we get to play together.
We do. We love that. So I promised a little story about a problem into a possibility. And do any of you use post-it notes? You're like, yeah.
I do.
You know what they are, at least. Okay. Well, the post-it note was actually not designed to be this removable thing. So the person who was trying to invent, this paper that would stick was not trying to make it removable. And yet, look, it became such a huge industry, actually, right?
Amazing,
I mean,
right?
Not only a brand name, but also knockoff brands, and it's in offices all over the world. So that's an example of, oh, this is not such a bad thing. Like, how else could we use this? Where else could we use this? And turning it into a revenue stream as well. So I wonder what revenue streams you've been ignoring because you've decided that something's a problem rather than a possibility.
Oh my gosh, what a great question. And it's so true. And I would, can you actually ask that question again, Kathy? That was a good one.
Yes. What revenue streams are you ignoring because you've decided something is a problem, not a possibility?
And along with that question, too, what if you decided that you couldn't make money at that other people would actually love to pay you to do? And we've talked about this on our show that we did recently about money, but it asked to be mentioned again here today where I just totally went, the words did not want to come out of my mouth, which is so funny when that happens and we're on a radio show and it's live. It's like, come on, woo.
What possibility is here, Betsy, that you hadn't
exactly
considered?
What other questions can I ask? Because and to not say it's not a problem. And what else, what energy can we be to change things? So everywhere that you have made things like real and solid and impenetrable and unchangeable, would you be willing to ask that question that Kathy's father so brilliantly asks, will it matter in 10 years?
Yeah. And you know, there are two others that kind of come in as well. And that was a really simple one. You know, I mean, we can get a sense pretty quickly. And these are more maybe things to clear. So one of them is, what invention am I using to create the upset I am choosing? And everything that is, we'll just use the clearing statement, will you destroy and uncreate it all?
Yep.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and puck, all night, shorts, boys and beyonds. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and I might say that over and over. So you want to explain the clearing statement a little bit?
Sure. So if you're wondering what in the world Kathy was just saying, she didn't just go to gibberish. Well, she did say gibberish, but it's the Access Consciousness clearing statement. And basically it's a magic wand designed to bypass your logical thinking mind and change the energy of what might be going on. And if you'd like to get more information, there's a really cool website that Dr. Dane here explains it in way more detail than we can do in a short radio show. But and it's still not a whole lot of detail, but there's kind of a fun video and stuff on there. So if you're more curious, we invite you to go to theclearingstatement.com. for more information.
Thank you. And then the other one that kind of popped in is, you know, what am I making significant that isn't? Right? And that could be a situation or a person or something someone said, or even a sensation in your body. Or even, I think, I had a woman who was coming to me to get rid of this thing on her face. And I was like, what thing on your face? Like, to everyone else, it was a nothing. And to her, it was like this big, annoying thing. And I'm like, where is it? It was so tiny. And so she was making it significant and into this big thing that actually impeded her life.
Wow.
And when you can get out of the significance of it, nothing can stop you and nothing can impede your life.
Wow. So it's kind of like that. She was making a mountain or maybe a whole range of mountains out of a tiny little freckle.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, where is it? What exactly do you, are we getting rid of here?
What are we talking about? You know, and how much have we all done that in our lives? So everywhere that we have made a whole mountain range out of our problems, would we be willing to destroy and uncreate all of that?
Yes.
Awesome. Right, wrong, good, bad, pop, pop, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond.
Yeah. When you don't make anything significant, then everything is malleable and changeable. And if you just ask some questions and make some different choices.
Uh-huh. So what questions and what choices could you make that you've never thought or considered choosing or asking?
Yeah.
And would you be willing to step into the unknown of what we're talking about here and see what happens? See what might change. See how much more ease there might be in your life. And this is why Kathy and I talk about this. This is why we do the show. This is why we teach and facilitate and coach, is because we see time after time after time with using these questions and these tools how much easier and joyful and abundant people's lives become.
It's so true. Yeah, and our lives. You know, I mean, yeah. We're living testaments to that. I mentioned earlier, you know, I used to live in a pretty constant state of anxiety. If it wasn't about a situation, it was about myself, you know, or I remember being, you know, a young person and we had this woods behind our house and I would be at ballet class like, oh, I wonder if someone's killed my mother and hidden her body in the woods back there. You know what I mean? Like, ridiculous. But it caused anxiety. And it's like, what if there's another possibility than living in constant anxiety? And you know, I mean, we could do a whole show about that or even a class about that, too, because it's just like people let their stories in their heads stop them so much, especially like you were saying, making a mountain range out of a molehill. Like even to make a simple phone call, sometimes it's like we make up this entire scenario in our heads. And then once we make the call, it's like, oh, well, that was nothing. I mean, the whole scenario I built in my head was way worse than the actual, doing of it in real life.
Yeah. So true. And I have a friend who is a real head tripper, and she does all of that. She'll do 25 different scenarios in her head, and then not one of them comes through. And sometimes she'll tell me a couple of them, and we just start cracking up. I'm like, do you realize what you're doing? And she goes, yeah, she does, and she knows it, and she'll laugh about it. And she's way better than she used to be because she also does practice with the tools and questions that we talk about, and she is – it's just so funny. Like, she actually told me today about something and we were just laughing our little tushes off because of how silly it is, how we can be so, we've already decided everything and nothing's even happened yet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's like we build a monster in our head and then run from it or hyperventilate because of it. And it's like, wait a minute, who created that monster?
So
and we
true.
Live as though it's true. Yeah. We're really cute that way.
Yes.
You know, Michael Neal has this wonderful YouTube video called Why Aren't We Awesomer? It's so worth checking out because it talks about that and it talks about the way we see the world. And he shows some visual images. You know, there's one that's an old lady. You can, if you view it from one vantage point, it's an old woman. And if you view it from another vantage point, it's a young woman. And he's like, which is it? What is it? And then he's like, it's actually a bunch of, you know, black lines on a white paper. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Our brain is just interpreting things. And so we get to choose how to be with that. And that's kind of part of the fun of life.
Yeah. So I wonder, too, like, what would your life be like if you even chose to be problem-free for a day?
Ooh, I like it.
So
shall we challenge them to 2 days?
Oh, shall we? I was like, yeah, I love it. I wonder how many days.
Oh, it's like, oh, we could make a problem-free challenge.
I love it. You know how, like, in the factories, they'll have X amount of days where, you know, it's been accident-free, you know, and they tick the amount of days. I wonder how many days we could all tick with no problems and nothing being significant.
And that also kind of inspires others to be that way, too. You know, my father-in-law, not my father, we talked about him earlier, but my father-in-law, his name is Bob, and he's a retired anesthesiologist. And he is called No Problem Bob and inspired people because he's just so no problem.
I love that.
Yeah, we could all be no problem.
No problem, Kathy, and no problem, Betsy. How's it get
yes.
better?
And no problem, listeners.
Yay!
Thank you, everybody. We're so grateful you're here. Check us out on SoundCloud and iTunes and at iom.fm, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.